Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It's June 1st. It's Tuesday, too. I know you guys think it's Monday. Nope, it's Tuesday, June 1st, 2021, or as I like to say, 1979 on steroids with crackhead, sleepy, creepy Joe Biden and heels up Harris at the helm. It's Jimmy Carter 2.0 in a sense, but it's also Obama 2.0. In practicality, it is, folks, go to HagmanReport.com, Their bookmark all of the, bookmark HagmanReport.com. And from there, you can access, for example, you can access, our video. If you just go to the left, Eric set this up really nice. Our latest video is on the left. And on the right, of course, is a link to my book, In the Dark of Night. I want to thank you so much for making it a bestseller, essentially. On Amazon, it achieved a bestseller rank, and I appreciate that. In the Dark of Night. A lot of great reviews. 4.9, hanging in there at 4.9. Not bad. Not bad at all. Folks, if you did get this either from a Hagman store or from Amazon, if you don't mind, drop over to Amazon and just, leave an honest review. Leave an honest review. Would appreciate that. But this kind of gives you an idea of what goes on with respect to Russ Dizdar and myself and Craig Sawyer. This is the real deal. All right. So this is a book that almost didn't come out. Seriously. Book three is on its way. I'm telling you. Book three is going to knock it out of the park too. I want to thank you again for all that you do for this organization and allow us to get into the field and to work on these kinds of matters. A couple of programming notes. Obviously, we did not have a show yesterday in honor of Memorial Day. And I do hope everyone who celebrated, every American who celebrated Memorial Day really got down on their knees and thanked, you know, said a prayer for the people, the veterans who have lost their lives in the various wars in which we fought. Another one I sense is coming up real quick, internally and externally, but it's coming. All right. So, programming note two, Friday. There will be no show on Friday. The reason? Going to be spending the day with Russ Dizdar and his team. The day, the night, the following day, the following night. That's right. Going to be taking care of some business. All right. Let's get right into a couple of things. If you notice, there's a pro-vaccine doctor who has issued a terrifying new warning about vaccines in general and spike proteins. Now, this doctor talks about spike proteins and the effect of those vaccinated. All right. I would suggest everyone read that. Also, a couple of things I want to get into. Oh, Randy Taylor is joining me right now. Randy Taylor, by the way, that was a scratch on an outside. Remember Seinfeld? Outside. Randy Taylor is joining me right now. Randy, come on in here. Come on in. How you doing, Randy?
How are you today, sir?
Good. I don't know if you ever caught that episode. It's a scratch or a pick. It's outside. All right. But you're looking fine today.
Thank you, sir. You look pretty spiffy yourself there, Doug.
Yeah. Well, like I said, if I only had pants on.
All right. Yeah.
Shh.
Yeah, don't give away our secrets.
And what a terrifying mental image that does denote. There are a couple of things I want to get right into. As I always say, and you can back me up on this. And I think there's two things that we cannot move away from that we always have to push forward. Number one is November 3rd, 2020. We must not move away, and we must get to the bottom of November 3rd, 2020. Right?
Yeah, we have to. We need to hold their feet to the fire.
Right.
As a country.
Or else we won't see the people talk about 2022 and 2024. No. It's 2020. End of story.
All right. To even say those dates are ridiculous, because how could you trust anything that happens?
No, you can't.
It's really ridiculous to even bring those dates up until we've rectified the problem that occurred on November 3rd.
That's right.
And that's to everyone's satisfaction.
It amazes me. It doesn't surprise me. Well, it irks me. It doesn't surprise me, I guess is the better way to say it. The left, they complain, well, you're trying to redo an election. You're trying to relitigate an election. No, we're not. We're trying to have a fair, we're trying to expose the election fraud, which did occur. We're trying to make sure that, and you know what? Everyone should care. It doesn't matter. If President Trump won, which I believe he did, but let's just say he officially won. The media called for it and he's in the Oval Office today. If there was a cloud of suspicion, I'd want this audit done. Wouldn't you? I mean,
okay. If it was the other way around, I guarantee you they'd still be screaming about it.
Yes.
I mean, look at what happened when Abrams lost Georgia. She cried about that for how long? And she still brings it up. I got cheated.
Yeah.
I got cheated. And they give, you know, the media gives her credence.
Yes.
They allow her to say that. Where when we bring it, and this is the other thing, it should be a big clue to the left. If we were wrong, I think we would have dropped this some time ago.
Yes.
You know, but guess what? We're in June.
Yes.
We're halfway through 2021. And we're not even started with the justice that needs to be done about this election. So, I mean, that should tell the left something. I mean, this isn't some fictional daydream. This isn't some conspiracy theory. This is hard reality. And all they need to do is stop and look at the facts. And that's it. Forget party lines. I recommend that if there's a Democrat out there listening right now to the words coming out of our mouths, just for one second, pretend you're not a liberal. You're not a Democrat. Pretend that you're just a regular American. Look at the facts, please. That's all. That's all we ask. Just look at the facts. They're there.
Amen. They are there.
And these are indisputable facts. These are reports, forensic reports coming out of the machines. These are eyewitness testimonies. These are things that we're talking about were caught on videotape. This is enough. We have enough. As a conservative party, we have enough that if it was a murder, we could put somebody away for life.
I believe that to be the case. Given beyond a reasonable doubt, I think is the standard that we have met.
And I believe, exceeded. I think it's been exceeded.
And I agree with you on that. A lot of shenanigans in Fulton County, Georgia, but what do you expect there? But the primary, the big cases in Maricopa County. And I just love that their heads are exploding. The left, they're saying, oh my God, you know, Rachel Maddow, you've got conspiracy theorists, Trumpsters, doing the audit, you know, and, when in fact the recounts were done by, leftists anyway, okay? Mm-hmm. The recounts, not the audits. So, yeah. It should
be of concern to the left for the simple reason, if our movement is effective at local and county levels, you're going to find Republicans in charge of many things, okay,
right.
Including voting stations and voting machines. Not to ever say that we would do that, that we would cheat, but as a Democrat, I would be concerned with protecting the process.
Thank you. Yes, it's the
process. It's just simple. This is due diligence. This is ensuring that this beautiful right that we have to vote is preserved and protected.
Yes.
And that's left, right, independent, libertarian, whatever. I don't care. Everyone should feel the same about this. And that's the part I'm
Yep.
It's really, I'm done with the party lines on this voting thing. I really am.
Amen.
As far as the forensics, I really am. It's, you're not doing yourselves as a party, the Democrats, you're not doing yourselves any good as a party, because this could happen to you.
And the rhinos as well. You know, and you and I look at this the same way. If this was a crime scene, I don't give a damn if you're Republican, Democrat. I don't care if you're black, you're white. I don't care if you're, I don't care if you're, bi, gay, straight, whatever. It is.
You're right. It's immaterial. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, so, Doug. I absolutely agree with you, sir.
So this is why we can't get past. I mean, we must not get past November 3rd. And we better damn well hold these people accountable. Now,
yes.
There's a movie coming out by the gentleman from Overstock, Patrick Byrne. Okay, that's coming out. Michael Lindell's been doing a great job. Of course, Steve Bannon's been doing a great job. But all of this combined, I've got to tell you, I really believe the evidence is going to show that both Democrats and Republicans, but especially Democrats, benefited from the machines as well as the other things about this election. But I will say this, okay, there will be Republicans who didn't win, who are in office. They won, but they didn't win.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
by design, for whatever reason, and we'll never know the backstory. We'll never know the backstory.
That's
but
right.
But we can just see the results.
But we got to clean them out. I don't care if it's Mitch McConnell. I mean, I don't care who it is. If you won by cheating, you have to be out. And if you facilitated, you've got to be punished. All right.
And that's the thing. When you start looking around, and I think that's why a lot of the rhinos are like, oh, we've accepted the results. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Because they know if people start digging and keep digging and keep digging. Right now, everybody's focused just on Trump and Biden. But eventually in those forensics, and when people start digging in forensics, you always find more bodies.
Right.
You know, there's more crime out there. And it more will come to light. And that's what they're afraid of. The other thing I think that is a looming fear, and I think this is what scares the legal system. We touched on this before. Is, let's say, boom, overwhelming evidence, Trump won. Now what do you do?
Well, there's a saying.
It's
everything.
As far as.
But I mean, fraud vitiates everything. So, in my view, look, I don't know constitutionally, I don't know legally, but I do know this. Here's what I believe. I believe that once we prove, and I believe this to be the case, once we prove fraud and that President Trump won, I believe all hell is going to break loose.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know about any, what would you call it? Legal way to
precedent.
Fix this?
Well, yeah, I don't. I can't think of a precedent, really. I don't.
I mean, there have been precedents and undervotes, but I don't know.
I could just see the response from the White House. You know, I don't care. Even if the Supreme Court said, you know, Trump won, what would be? You know, what I mean, we'd be tied up in court for Biden to be dead by the time that happened. Well, I got to be careful about what I say anymore. I got booted off Twitter for making a comment about Bill Barr.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I got booted off Twitter for that because I said that Bill Barr sold his soul.
Yep.
And
come on in.
Yeah, Bill Barr sold his soul, and I figure he'd probably off himself in a couple of years. His conscience. I get booted off Twitter for making that comment.
That's amazing. And speaking of Twitter, okay, the truth squads in exclamation point are out there now. Now Twitter and Facebook, right, are saying, well, you know, with respect to the, and this brings me to the second thing that we can't get past, and that's the origins of the Communist Chinese Party virus. Isn't it funny how Facebook and Twitter said back a year ago, actually 13 months ago, they, you cannot say that, you can't even hint that this kind of came from a lab, right? Now they're saying, well, okay, fact checkers, you know, maybe, who knows? So we're going to let things slide. I've got a clip. Let's take a look at this clip. This is from CNN. And, I want your take on this. Folks, pay attention to this, okay? It's about 3.5 minutes long or 4 minutes long. Involves Cuomo, you know, Fredo, right? And it goes back to April of last year, I believe. So actually, help me with the math, 14 months. So anyway, here it is.
Do you think it's more likely than not that the coronavirus emerged naturally or from a lab accident?
You know, I do think it's more likely than not it emerged out of the lab, most likely accidentally. For several reasons. And first of all, Jake, let me say this is the worst cover-up in human history that we've seen, resulting in 3.5 million deaths, creating economic devastation around the globe. As you mentioned, though, it was just declassified. The three of the researchers were actually hospitalized in November 2019 with flu-like symptoms consistent with COVID.
President Biden has ordered this 90-day review by the intelligence community to see what they think. If they conclude the same thing that you have, and there's no reason to think that they wouldn't, what should the world do? What should President Biden do?
Well, I'm glad the president finally has done this. It's long overdue. I think because they have destroyed everything at the lab, it could be very inconclusive. We have signals intelligence and human and other forms of intelligence, but it may not be 100%. But I think saying it's more likely than not is probably the right answer here.
Texas lawmaker Michael McCaul there, who was the top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, giving the lab leak theory some more height. He was telling CNN's Jake Tapper that the origins of COVID-19 is the worst cover-up in human history and that the virus likely emerged from a lab leak. For a long time, mainstream media wouldn't touch reporting this theory, but in the last week or so, it has made serious headlines. Last week, President Biden started to take the theory that coronavirus originated in a Chinese lab more seriously. He issued a 90-day directive to US intelligence agencies to investigate two theories. Either the virus originated from an infected animal that transmitted to humans, or it came from a lab leak. Michael McCaul called Biden's decision long overdue, especially as China has been accused of a major cover-up and that any evidence the virus came from a lab is probably destroyed. Mainstream media has been hesitant in giving attention to the theory because it was considered a conspiracy theory for so long and that it was just a theory Trump had backed up. President Trump was one of the first people to suggest the theory could have been the source, but he was slammed by media for doing so. CNN's Chris Cuomo a few days ago falsely claimed the theory is a newer notion and that's something the United States government hadn't pursued yet.
COVID was passed from animals to humans, or it originated from a lab accident. Now, the second is a newer notion, okay? The government had not been open to the lab theory. That is why it is so politically charged. It was dismissed as a conspiracy early on, but now is under serious consideration. Why? An Intel report determined several researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology were hospitalized for an unknown illness in November 2019, the month before China reported its first COVID case. Suspicious. So why is it politically charged? Because Trumpers, who were complicit in playing down the pandemic reality in America, are now seeing more interest in the China lab theory as some kind of vindication, enough to play I told you so with Fauci.
However, this isn't true. Here is Chris himself breaking the news in April 2020 that the lab leak theory was a story to watch.
All right, we have breaking news on our watch. It is a very provocative headline. I'm just getting it. Let's go through it together in real time. Here's the headline. The United States is pursuing the theory that the virus started in a Chinese lab, not a market. I know the internet is rife with conspiracy theories and concerns that this was something that was worked on, that was designed, and that's why we don't understand. But if they're investigating and they can get sources, other sources told CNN that U.S. Intel hasn't been able to corroborate the theory, but is trying to discern whether someone was infected in the lab or was about poor handling. So this is a story to watch. I know many are curious about it. New information. They are looking at it at the U.S. Intel level. As we get more, you'll get more.
Former President Donald Trump appeared on Fox News last week where he said he has very little doubt the virus came from a virology lab in Wuhan. He told Dan Bongino, "Now everybody is agreeing that I was right when I very early on called Wuhan as the source of COVID-19, sometimes referred to as the China virus."
Get your rags, folks. The noises you hear, like balloons popping, those are the mad owls and the Cuomos, their heads just blowing, exploding, and you got to wipe down the, you know, the cubicles that they sit in because they're just blown up. Randy Taylor, you know, if Donald Trump said it, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. You know what, Randy Taylor, I am so sick and tired of being right with respect to these conspiracy theories. I don't know about you.
Well, it gets old. It is. And conspiracy theories just turn out after a period of time to be truth. Yeah. And anybody that thinks, I mean, what are the coincidences that all these little diseases and viruses and all that just happen to generate somewhere in China? They're all coming from labs. Every bit of this crap is from labs. That's what China's specializing in. We've discussed this before. They don't want a full-out nuclear war. They don't want that. They'd rather kill us biologically, clean up the bodies, and move right into our infrastructure.
You know what?
Anybody, and this deal that, you know, Biden is suddenly interested, you know what? The man is an idiot. He's absolutely, I've seen monkeys at the zoo that were smarter than this guy.
I was just going to say, with Biden, there's one up here. There's one banana and two monkeys fighting for it. Okay.
Man, I don't get this guy. How somebody that stupid could be our president of the United States. Yeah. We're talking about one of the most powerful country in the world. The only country in the world that could actually stand up to China if it had to. And we've got this idiot in charge.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just, I don't know how people sleep at night.
You know, I don't know either. It's absolutely nuts. Biden, meanwhile, is embarrassing, you know, the entirety of the United States. Did you happen to see, kind of in a left-handed turn on this, did you happen to see his comment to that six-year-old girl?
What a pervert, man.
What? Okay.
Oh.
Easy, Doug.
Okay.
If he said that to my granddaughter, a president or no president, Secret Service agent or no Secret Service agent, we'd have a problem.
Well, it just shows that his mind is in the wrong place. He shouldn't be looking at a little girl's legs and then fantasizing about her becoming 19 years old or whatever. That, I'm sorry. You're supposed to be the president of the United States, man. Tuck it in for 4 years, pal.
Tuck it in for 4 years.
You know? It's like Clinton. I never understood Bill Clinton. You know?
You're going to
be the president of the most powerful country in the world. Dude, put it away for 4 years, okay?
You can't leave that alone. You know, you get business to take care of. Not that business of the United States.
Man, especially with his record on this. And it's not like people are making it up. It's not Photoshopped. These are live scenes. He's patting down little girls. And it's like he can't keep his hands off the kids. And don't give me that Grandpa Joe thing.
No.
Okay. Everybody's heard of those kind of grandpas.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm tired of the, you know, and I brought up a point with somebody on Twitter. They were talking about, well, Joe Biden goes to church. Well, that makes him a Christian. And I'm like, what? Because I go to a hospital, that makes me a doctor?
Well, it works for me.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't get what a flimsy. Well, he must be a Christian. He went to church Sunday. Maybe that's the only place he could hide. You know, but that doesn't. You know, and I guarantee the guy's refused communion. Nancy Pelosi has refused communion.
Yep.
Take a hint, people. I mean, if your church despises you, what kind of says how the rest of us feel about you?
You know, yeah, there's so much wrong. And when we go back to the founding of this country, look, I understand the founders. I understand. I understand all about Freemasonry. The highest degrees of Freemasonry as an umbrella or a kind of a covering for the Luciferian stuff. I understand all of that. Okay. I understand that some of the founders were involved in certain different things, but at the end of the day, they were statesmen. I don't think we have a statesman in this guy.
No.
I don't think we have a leader in this guy. Again, one banana, two monkeys up there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Kamala Harris, for what she did, you know, I had to go to Lowe's over the weekend. And I have a lot of, I got a lot of respect for companies that recognize, and I should have sent you that video or that picture. I took a picture of a parking space. I'll just paint the picture for you, word picture. In a parking space reserved for vets, flowers, a bench, flags, a sign saying thank you to our vets, our fallen vets. Let's remember them. Let's say a prayer for them. What a gracious way of celebrating that day. You know, and then you got Kamala Harris saying, hey, enjoy your long weekend. Like,
because to her, that's all it is. Oh, these people that are in charge are just, and it's sad, but they wouldn't even be where they're at if it wasn't for the blood that's been shed.
Exactly.
You know, and what's sad is so many people you could ask, and I just do this as an experiment. Ask somebody you know and just say, hey, what's Memorial Day all about? See what they say. Because a lot of them are just, the first thing out of their mouth will say is, the veterans. No.
Go on.
You know, it's a little more than that. We have a Veterans Day for veterans.
That's it.
And this is the thing. And this isn't even taught in schools anymore. I mean, we're so far from the basics.
Yep.
that it's sad. It's heartbreaking. And when you hear Kamala Harris say something like, enjoy your long weekend, sadly, it doesn't even surprise me.
No,
it really doesn't. Obama, look how much Obama disrespected the military. The only time he respected the military is if they were willing to kill on his whim.
Yes.
That's the only time he ever respected the military. He didn't even, he couldn't even hold the secrecy, you know, of who took Osama bin Laden out. We don't need to know SEAL Team 6. We don't need, none of that should have been said. All it should have been said is Osama bin Laden's dead. And that's all you need to know.
He's responsible for the death of SEAL Team 6.
Thank you. Biden as well.
And Biden.
Those two, that's two peas in a pod there, in a very rotten pod. And here's the sad part. Where do you think Biden is getting his advice from?
Oh, Obama. In fact, on Breitbart, Obama was interviewed, and he said he was giving information to Biden. Okay, I mean, a Breitbart story earlier today. I don't have it up, but there it is.
I'm just the whole thing is out of hand, and I'm so disappointed with the officials in the various departments and agencies and all during the Trump administration as well.
Yeah,
Donald Trump was a good guy, totally a nationalist, loved him, proud of his country, loves his country. That can never be questioned. And I look all around him. That's why I made that comment about Barr on Twitter.
Yes.
I don't comment on there that much. But when you look at Bill Barr sold his soul. You absolutely sold us all. And I think that, honestly, I think in retrospect, it's troubling him. I think it's really troubling him because now he sees what he's contributed to. My question would be, how did they get him to sell his soul? What is there that we don't know?
I'm glad you brought that up because about a year and a half ago. Okay, I just wanted to let you know this. No. When you sent that to me about a year and a half ago, Coach Dave Dobmeyer and his group, Pass the Salt, PT, Pass the Salt.
Yeah.
He went and stood in front of Bill Barr's house. Mm-hmm. I don't recall specifically what the event was, but Bill Barr came out, and Coach Dave Dobmeyer and a couple of other individuals prayed with him. Yeah. Prayed with him. Okay, now
something isn't right there because this is a man that's supposed to be a Christian, and I sit here and I look at all the things that, in my opinion, he was complicit in.
Yes, I agree.
Even if complicit, just your silence.
Still complicit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't have to. It's like the person who says, "Well, you know, I didn't lie." You didn't necessarily have to lie. There's called this thing called lies of omission. Yep. You know, you can commit things and do things without opening your mouth, and sometimes that's the worst when you sit there in silence.
Amen to that.
And I sit there and I look at the whole Durham thing. We were waiting on that, and Barr pumped that up, and I turn around. I just look at this whole betrayal of the American people. Our way of life, yep. And everything that occurred in the last, especially the last year of Donald Trump's presidency, especially in the last year.
Yes.
You know, I have to question what do they have on Bill Barr? Why would a man do that? Think about it. If I was in you knowing me, if I was in his position of power, 2020 would have turned out a whole lot different.
You know, that also goes to the, in my view anyway, Barr, Durham. That also goes to the Q movement.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I sent you an article today about that. Wow. Yeah. See, the Q movement, and I hate to say it because it involves conservatives. And we're all supposed to be in the same family. But the Q movement was a fabrication of some kind. We don't know. Yeah, see, and this is even recent. There's still this is one of the things that bothers me because of the complacency that it caused. And the other thing is people putting blind faith into something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Q isn't God. Q isn't anything. We don't even know truthfully everything about this Q phenomenon and its origin. We have a lot of speculation. I watched some thing on TV or some midget or something. I don't know. It was so bizarre. I couldn't even relate to it. I shut it off after a while. But the point is, I hate to tell you this, but the Q movement were sheep.
Well,
remember we talked about
cultish. Cultish.
Yeah, but cultish to the point of sheep. I mean, they drank the Kool-Aid, man. They drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And that troubles me because that was just one. Many things were put together to get Donald Trump out of office. Many things. Okay. The Q movement probably started out with the right ideas, but somehow was intercepted and taken over. And a bunch of people were misled right down the wrong path of trust the plan.
Yes.
But the complacency. We talked about this many, many times in 2020. Complacency. You really have to be careful of that. And that's why we got upset with there's a lot of Christians that get complacent because they look at Revelation. Well, this is prophecy. This is the way it's going to be. And my wife brought up a point. She said, what if? Because she knows she understands the globalist and all. She said, what if they try and, with the media and everything, mold this thing to where it looks like the end times? So people will be complacent. Okay. I could see that. I absolutely can see that.
You're talking about appealing to those people who say you can't change prophecy.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. Think about that. I think she hit it right on the head. And I thought, wow, okay, because you've got this huge group of conservative Christians, patriots. They don't all 100% hold the same core. They have the same core belief, but then there's a lot of variance. So what you have to do is you've got to segment them, and then you've got to go after each segment in its own way to reel them in. Q being one of them, these guys being another, your militias being another, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
She had a very solid point when she said that. She just said it one day just off the top of her head.
That could very well be. I mean,
wow, you know, smart woman.
Now, can you imagine if you had a non internet or I don't know what you'd call it. If you had a Q movement back in the revolutionary days, okay, back in our founding of our country,
mm-hmm.
What effect would that have had? With our founders. Now, I'll say this. I believe our founders were, regardless, if it was non, I believe our founders would have seen through that and worked through that.
Yeah. But if it had the effect it had today?
Yes.
Yeah, we'd all be sitting around drinking tea and hoping that the Queen's doing better.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I'm serious. Those kind of things are dangerous. And, when you talk about a globalist movement, don't think for one second that they haven't calculated every type of resistance out there.
Yes.
Don't think for a second there are people up there that are so damn smart. You'd be scared to walk in the room. You'd want to get out of there after talking with us. There's some intelligent people because the globalist movement has to manipulate mankind as a whole, collectively, as well as individually. Now stop and think about that monumental task. But they're good at it. They're very good at it. Just look around the world. Mm-hmm. Most of the world has fallen.
Yes.
To the globalist movement. The U.S. was the last bastion, the last defense. And unfortunately, we're slipping into it too.
We're on the ropes.
Yeah, we are. Let's just see what Biden's doing in Afghanistan. Yanking all the troops out of there. The Taliban's going to take over that country. We're going to be right back where we were in, 1999 and 2000 and 2001,
yeah.
Very shortly.
Yeah.
And here's the part that gets me. I sit around and I looked. I was always a big Pink Floyd fan. I was. I'll be straight. I enjoyed Pink Floyd. Artists like that. And I was sitting here and I was watching a Roger Waters concert. And, how Pink Floyd was always anti-establishment, against war, mm-hmm. This and that. And if you kind of look at like the last album, Pink Floyd, The Wall, I hope I'm not losing some of you folks. But anyway, I was looking at Roger Waters' last concert. And during all those things about anti-war, anti-establishment, anti-programming, anti-this, anti-that, they kept putting Trump's picture up there.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, Mr. Waters, I was always a fan, but you couldn't be further than the truth. Every time they put Trump's picture, and there should have been Joe Biden's picture up there, or Barack Hussein Obama, or George Bush.
But see, these are the program.
Thank you. And it just further illustrates how lost people are. And how easy the masses can be programmed. Because I was watching the crowd at the concert and they're like, just going bananas every time you put Trump on the screen. Trump's picture had no business being up there. Trump is not promoting war. Trump is not about the establishment. Trump is not about big government. So everything Waters did in that concert was BS. And the crowd loved it. And I sat here and I thought, that just illustrates how stupid people are and how someone like Roger Waters can take advantage of them and how CNN can take advantage of them and how corrupt politicians can take advantage of them. Because if you're a sheep, about the only thing you really see when you're in the crowd is the sheep's ass in front of you. You don't see much else.
That's right.
And that's where we're at, Doug. That's the part that scares me. People are devoid of actual free thought. And I'm even looking at the conservative movement, and I'm scared how it's fragmented. We were talking about this earlier. It's very fragmented to a point that it bothers me. We're not uniform enough on not theories and all that. You stick the theories in your ear. I don't care. Okay. I'm talking about taking the country back.
You know,
we're very fragmented on it.
Okay. This is something that, General Flynn, Michael Flynn, in my view. Okay. Now, there's some issue over what he said, exactly what he said in the context of what he said. But he was referencing, look, you know, he referenced Myanmar and talked about the coup-like or the coup to replace the government there. And he said, maybe, just maybe, you know, we need something like that here. Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of conservatives jumping on him. I mean, saying, how dare you even hint at that?
But at the same time, why aren't those same conservatives screaming at Thomas Jefferson, who says that the Tree of Liberty needs to be fed with?
That's right.
So you can't shoot down patriots for what they say when they're talking about the betterment of the country.
Yes.
And Flynn, if anybody questions Flynn's patriotism, you need to be punched in the head. You
yes.
really do. Because that man absolutely, without fail, is a patriot. Look at what he went through.
They put him and his family in a blender.
And technically, he's still in it.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
He will always, always be. And this, once again, you know, the left slams General Flynn. At the same time, General Flynn isn't talking and out there defending conservatives. He's defending everyone.
He's defending the Republic.
The Constitution, the Republic, yes, yes. The American citizen. And you sit there and slam the guy? I mean, that man will take a bullet for a Democrat as fast as he'll take one for a Republican. You know why? Because all he sees is the American.
Yes.
That's the way he is. That's his mentality. The man is, man, don't question his integrity. Don't.
I agree.
You have no right to question his integrity.
I absolutely.
He's paid his dues. He's paid his dues. Any of these guys that have paid their dues, you don't have the right to question it. You know, they're solid. They're stand up guys. These are guys that lay their life on the line for the Constitution. Question that?
And you know what? You don't have to agree with a person on every single matter. It's kind of like Christianity. As long as we agree. As Christians, that we agree that really there's only one way for our salvation, and that's through mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yep.
Then the rest, okay, we can talk about the rest, all right? But at least we have an agreement on the end game objective here, and that's the same
exactly.
with Michael Flynn. We don't have to. Mm-hmm. He said or he might believe this or that. Okay, wait. Does he care about the Constitution? Does he care about the restoration of the Republic? Yes. Okay,
good.
So we have a starting
Done.
Point. Yeah,
exactly. Done. Good enough. Sign them up. you know, yeah. I mean, that's that. If we could just get that much out of everybody, we'd be fine.
And there it is.
Know?
Yeah, and there it is. And you know, I got to because I don't want to run out of time, and I'm going to have you back. And we have a lot to talk about mm-hmm. over the next several days, folks. You've got no idea. There's a lot of stuff going on in the background. I mean, a lot of stuff going on in the background. Oh,
no.
If you only knew. Okay, but here's one thing I wanted to bring up to people out there. You know, the United States is a battleground. And I didn't show this to you. I'm going to kind of spring this on you, okay? Eric the Tech, this is let's see here. Let me just make sure. This is the first video on Tuesday 6/1. Can we roll this? I'll show you. This is what's going on in your schools. Now, let me set this up very briefly. Okay, as we fight this war against the Marxist indoctrination, we are also fighting for the welfare of our children. Imagine. Now, Imagine your granddaughter, my granddaughter, my grandson, 5 years old, 6 years old, preschool, or not preschool, but the pre-elementary school, whatever that grade is. What is that? Kindergarten, I guess.
Kindergarten.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah. Again, stuff rolling around.
It's the only thing I graduated with honors.
Never mind.
leave it alone, Doug.
Yeah. If we knew each other back then, we'd be.
We'd still be in the principal's office.
So here's what's going on right now, especially at and this came to light at because this happened at this really prissy, primmy school. You know, charges $50,000 a year to put your 6, 7, 8 year old child in. But imagine this being shown to your 5, 6, and 7 year old. This is what's going on right now. And this is part of the takedown of our culture and the fabric of our country. Watch this and don't throw anything at your screen. Folks, if you have kids watching this, maybe send them out of the room. Of course, they probably have already seen this, so go ahead and play this.
Pass it, Squeaks!
Whoa, watch it! You almost hit me in the pee-pee!
What's so funny, you two?
He said, pee-pee.
Do you notice that when you say pee-pee, you giggle, but when you say penis, you say it in a serious voice?
I never noticed that before.
Some children and adults feel uncomfortable when they talk about their private parts, so they make up cute or funny names for them.
What's one for a girl's private parts?
Vajayjay!
But what does Scoops mean when he says vajayjay?
He means vulva.
That's right, Kayla. It's important to use the proper words for our private parts.
Why?
Because our private parts are just as amazing as our hearts, lungs, brains, or any other of our amazing body parts.
But our hearts pump blood, our lungs breathe, and our brains think.
All our private parts do is pee!
That's not entirely true, Scoops. It is true that a person pees or urinates through a hole called the urethra in the penis.
Does everyone have a urethra?
They do. It can be harder to see, but girls have a tiny hole in the front of the vulva where urine comes out from their urethra. Urination is actually very important. It helps us get rid of waste, stuff our body doesn't need.
Hey, how come my penis gets big sometimes and points up in the air?
That's called an erection.
Sometimes I touch my penis because it feels good.
Sometimes when I'm in my bath or when Mom puts me to bed, I like to touch my vulva too.
You have clitoris there, Kayla, that probably feels good to touch the same way Keith's penis feels good when he touches it. But have you ever noticed that older kids and grown-ups don't touch their private parts in public?
They don't?
That's right, Keith. It's okay to touch yourself and see how different body parts feel, but it's best to only do it in private.
Well, if private parts are so special, why do you cover them up?
Because they are private, silly.
That's right, Kayla. Because they are private.
Hey, Squeaks, pass it.
Wait. Okay, I'm ready.
I could have gone the whole year without saying that. What? But in the hell is? Oh my god! Oh my god! This is unbelievable, Lord. What?
Brought to you by Amaze.org. Amaze.org.
Doug, I'm speechless. I don't.
Okay, this is what is being taught to our young children by these. Oh, God help me. By these perverts. All right, well, let's look at who these perverts are. Let's go to Amaze. Let's drop down to About. How about our team? Let's go to our team. Look at these faggots and these perverts.
Even ladies upset about it.
lady is over there. She's looking at what I threw, and she's, I don't do that usually. Okay. So I think we ought to make these people famous. Famous. Make every one of these people famous, you perverts. You're going to teach this to my child, to my grandchild?
The amazing part is that they've assumed the responsibility and assumed the role of the parent. I guess that's the part that scares me. These are things that the parents are supposed to be discussing. My daughter went through the same thing in school. Things that we used to learn in health class, it was more in high school. Yeah. They're now teaching them now in fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. Now,
how about first and second?
I'm sure it's in some cases, yes.
Well, that cartoon was that was actually made for 5 and 6 year olds.
That's nuts. They really shouldn't be discussing that at that age. They don't need it. They don't need to be. Now, and it's not the public school's place. No. To be playing that. It's really not. It's not. I understand. And honestly, when they get a little older in health class or something, I understand that. Okay. But at that age, can't we let the children be children? You know, good example. When my daughter was in daycare, I went in one day to pick her up, and she was in the bathroom, and there were boys and girls in the same bathroom. This is before kindergarten even. Because at that age, they don't know these things. They don't recognize, you know what I mean? They really, it doesn't even register that Mary looks different than Billy does. At that age, it doesn't even register.
Now you're forcing, and
by doing this, you're forcing it to register. You're forcing a curiosity that really should be focused on, you know, what is math? What is this? What is that? There'll be time for all that stuff later. 5 and 6, and it's just not. They're assuming the role of the parent, and they shouldn't. We don't need state-raised kids. State-raised kids end up institutionalized kids.
Well, you know,
that just gave me a headache, man. I'm gonna need some Hagman duct tape.
We're gonna try to get some of that made duct tape with Hagman report on it, because we're plumb out of the regular stuff. Okay.
So when your head goes to explode, just grab some of our Hagman duct tape and wrap it up.
But here, okay, so I'm looking at some of the people. And I incorrectly left out lesbians in my description. Okay. But so I'm looking at some of these people. Melissa Holmes, MD, founder of Girlology and Guyology. Huh? Okay. Whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. It's just like up in Canada, Doug, in Ontario.
Yeah.
Before Doug Ford was up there, there was a Kathleen Wynne, and her education guy, okay, was putting together the curriculum of this type of thing for the public schools for the kids. He did time for pedophilia.
I'll bet you, I don't have any proof whatsoever, I don't know, but I'll bet you people involved in this, whether directly or indirectly, have got that
tendency.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
I don't know.
Anyway, this guy is Ben Levin guy. He actually did time.
Yeah. Yeah.
For this. And they have him as the education guy putting together the sexual education. This is a guy that said he would sleep with his granddaughters.
This is
a guy that should be. I'm not even going to say it because I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even. Yeah, I can't. I can't. There's just no way. And no.
It's time to go old school. We're done.
And there it is. Okay, so we are being attacked. And the reason I threw this in there at this time, is because, like I said, coming out of here, we can't go beyond November 3rd. We have to address that. We cannot go on, go past the attack, bioweapons attack by the Communist Chinese Party. But I believe, do you think that this would fly in Communist Chinese, Communist China? Hell no. In Russia? No.
No.
No. No. No. And they're pumping it in our schools here because we are at war, and this is part of a larger war.
We're right? at war with just simple morality.
That too.
We're at war with morality. Morality's out the window.
Yeah. Yeah.
And look at the United States. Look at it as a whole. Morality's out the window.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, folks, but I want to show you that because. That's just a small sliver of things. You know what? We're out of time. We're going to be doing a lot more this week in our limited time that we got, so I appreciate you.
We will see you tomorrow, folks.
Randy Taylor, God bless. Getting right back. Hour number two, Stan Dale. Welcome back to hour number two. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. If you didn't watch hour number one, tune back in because got a little heated there toward the end. Some real bad attacks on our morality, but you know that's to be expected in this Marxist coup that we're seeing take place, and that's been taking place now for a number of years. I want to thank you so much for being a part of this program. Please spread the word about this program. Tell others about it. We're on Rumble. Subscribe to Rumble. Subscribe to Rumble and follow us on Rumble. So subscribe and follow, and then comment below. All right. Also on Brighteon, do the same. Also bookmark HagmanReport.com and for extra credit. No, I'm kidding about this, but not about the book. In the Dark of Night Again is out. I want to thank you so much for making this a best-selling book. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In the Dark of Night. It's gotten great reviews. It's currently averaging 4.9 on Amazon. And you can either buy it on Amazon in Kindle or hard copy format or, you know, paperback format. Or you can go to HagmanStore.com if you want me to sign it and, you know, inscribe it or whatever you'd like. So we do have the rest of the first printing palette in and here, so we appreciate that. But definitely, if you don't mind, after you purchase it and read it and stuff, leave an honest review at Amazon. Leave an honest review. Honest. Okay? Also, on Goodreads, I have an author's page on Goodreads. Just saying. It's pretty cool. You can follow me there, and we can talk. So, there it is there. All right. Stan Dale from StanDale.com is with me every Tuesday. And yes, today is Tuesday, the first day of June 2021. Isn't it great? June has sprung. It's kind of my favorite time of year because of the flowers blooming, the birds singing, and butterflies flying and unicorns flying and stuff. You get the idea, right? Everything's rosy. Stan will tell you. You only need sunblock 1,000 when you go out, apparently. Nonetheless, it's all good. EMPShield.com. Use Hagman as the promo code. EMPShield.com. Hagman as the promo code. Definitely get one of those because you need it. And they're having a Memorial Day sale. You know, That's pretty cool when you think about it. Everyone needs, in my view, everyone needs an EMP shield. I'm telling you, because it is, well, what are we facing right now? We're facing some pretty rough times at Common. We really are. Don't you think? Architect, what do you think about the EMP shield? I mean, you're a guy that's big into the tech stuff. You think this would be a good investment for people if they don't have one?
Absolutely.
100%. Go to empshield.com. That's empshield.com. Get yours today. Hey, ladies, Father's Day. Good Father's Day gift, I think. I'd like to get one for Father's Day if I didn't already have one. It's empshield.com. Use the promo code Hagman. Before I get to Stan, I just want to mention one thing. I want to ask you guys something. Are you tired right now of credit card bills with high interest rates? Are you ready to pay off your credit card balances and start saving money? I know. We were in that position, and we came across Lightstream. Lightstream really saved us a lot of money. They saved, I can tell you this, my daughter, my niece, especially my niece, a couple of friends, and a couple of family members have benefited from Lightstream.com. They are good people. And you know, sometimes it just makes sense when you look at your credit card balance statements and you're saying, oh my gosh, I'm paying that much in interest rate? Well, get a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at just 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties. Plus, you can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day that you apply. That's how great this company is. Now, here's what Lightstream has worked out with us, or we've worked out with Lightstream. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell this out for you because it's that important. It's LightStream.com/Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. It's HAGMANN. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. If I can keep my voice, you will thank me later. Yeah, I know you will. Again, that's lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. There I go. All right. And I thank the fine folks at Lightstream for working that up. All right. Again, if it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Stan Dale from standale.com. Love Stan. Love Holly. Holly Dale. Dare to Prepare. In fact, I've got the book right over there. Dare to Prepare. Stan Dale Cosmic Conspiracy. Holly Dale Prophetic Perils. I mean, I'll tell you what, folks. Just go to standale.com and go through all of what they have. Holly Dale's up, three, 4 o'clock in the morning, putting up headlines. She works hard. Stan Dale, of course, sits back, drinks iced tea, collects some money. All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. Stan, how you doing?
Oh, good, me boy. How are you this evening?
Busy. And I showed a clip, the first hour that really showed the immorality that exists in the United States. I won't get into it. It just involved a cartoon geared for 5 and 6 year olds about touching themselves. Just crazy.
Oh yeah,
just crazy. Anyway, what's on your mind today?
Wait, you when you were doing your intros about where your show is being displayed, you know, and you mentioned Rumble, it sounded like you said mumble. I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably true. Mumble.
And you know, I mumble, and sometimes it's hard for me to, I'm kind of like Joe Biden sometimes. Yeah, I can't talk correctly. But you know what? We're on Roku too. And somebody asked me, well, when you on? I can't figure that out. I don't know. We're on Roku. I'm just telling you.
I will look and see.
Yeah. I got it right on that on our TV here in the studio. I'm not sure how to. I'm afraid to turn it off because I'm not sure if I get it back. But anyway,
there's an arrow in the middle of my head on the screen here. I guess that's a cursor. Eric, is that a cursor? I thought it was a fly. I was going to knock it off the screen, but it doesn't knock off.
Is that your cursor, Eric? Let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, that was his cursor. That was his cursor. Okay, now I feel better.
Is that your
it's
cursor?
Just gone and everything.
He just said sorry about that.
Well, I should think so. Yeah. I should think so. You know, I've talked a bit here. About how many minutes have we got for the show today left?
Time 50 plus?
50 plus.
Don't even worry about the program
about
clock.
53. Okay. Yeah. All right. Look, I want people who are watching this segment to think seriously about recording it, downloading it to the computer, and storing it on, like, CDs or flash drives and sharing it with friends all over the world, because this show, I'm going to be talking about something that is starting this month. I've been waiting 48 years to make this very clear to people when and how the Great Deception is going to occur. And this month, as you know, the government is going to do an official disclosure of a lot of photos and other information on the UFO situation. Now, whether it starts this month or whether it's a few months down the road this year, I think that this year we actually will see the official disclosure of the alien presence on the planet. Now, I will discuss that in detail in just a minute. You were mentioning Roku here. Did you ever see the Jack Ryan series, the two seasons of that? The CIA operative Jack Ryan?
No, I did not.
All right, well, I will advise people, if you do have Roku, get onto our Prime, actually it's Prime Video from Amazon, get on there and look for Jack Ryan season one, season two. Season two is the one that's most aligned to what the current events are in Venezuela and how corrupt it is down there. One of the things they brought in the series was that Venezuela has so many minerals and oil that it's probably the leading country in the world for the sources of, you know, gold, tantalum, all kinds of precious metals, oil. And because of that, it's a greatly treasured country by Russia, China, United States, and other countries in the Middle East, like Iran. And it, although it's fiction, it is so close to what's happening down there with the people, the starvation and the rampant inflation. You can understand why a lot of Venezuelans are in the illegal trespass into our country. They're running for their lives. And, you know, I understand that situation, but there should be a legal process for getting them in the country, regardless. In slide 49, Eric, on the show images page, it says, U.S. monitoring Iranian warships that may be headed to Venezuela. An Iranian frigate and the Makran, a former oil tanker that was converted to a floating forward staging base, have been heading south along the east coast of Africa, which, you know, it depends on where they are. If they're down below, you know, Venezuela, well, then they've already passed it, but they may be hanging out in the region for a reason. One of the things that came out in the Jack Ryan series, which is fact, is that Russia wants to get in there, and so does China, to be able to launch missiles against the United States, and they could hit Florida quite easily with the known missiles that frequent the area there on the Russian ships and things. Now, it is a staging area, as they say. It is a thing to watch out for because they don't know what's in the bowels of this converted tanker. It might be shielded so we can't see nukes or things like that. But these things are all adding up to positioning for an attack on the United States. The China Sea incidents where our ships have been told to bug off, our planes are not welcome over that area. China is doing its best to set up to attack the United States from that side and to help North Korea do it as well. They've been supplying them weapons. Now, in the Middle East, we've got Iran threatening Israel, which indirectly threatens the United States. We've got Russia really irritated with Biden at the moment. You know, Putin and him are at odds. It's kind of a no match, you know, no contest thing between Putin and Biden. I mean, I think probably Putin feels sorry for Biden, you know, because he's so defenseless. anyway, you know, he's like a cork on the ocean, you know, driven by the waves of the wind. Read the article, see what the journalist thinks about it, and understand that I think this is a very important country to watch. Speaking of inflation, sorry, do you have a comment on that before I move on?
No, no, just acknowledging this.
Slide 42, down at the bottom there, Eric, you see a silver dollar, and this is what they call the peace or liberty silver dollar. And if you read the article, it says United States Mint announces global silver shortage, shuts down orders for silver coins. Now, I haven't seen a jump in the price of silver today, but certainly they are running out of coins because of the rush of people buying large amounts of the piece of silver coins, you know, to hedge against inflation, to hedge against a global collapse, economic collapse. So read that article, and this is from the government, and they say it's only temporary, but it is indicative of a problem with silver, you know, and minted silver particularly. These are being grabbed up by, I'm sure, preppers and new preppers that are coming in the game late. Those of us that thought ahead have our stocks of them on hand. Now, one of the things that bothers me about gold and silver, and dollars for that matter, but gold and silver, in the Bible it says in these days, at the last you know, part of this age, that people will throw their gold and silver into the street, you know, as garbage, as rotted stuff, not valuable. Now, if we have, you know, a global economic collapse, people think, okay, we'll hedge with this. You can only hedge with that and trade silver coins with people that will give you goods and services for silver coins. If the government, not only this country, but other countries in the world say you cannot own or trade in gold or silver in any form, you're out of luck then. All that stuff you've put into safekeeping is worthless except as decoration on the wall or something. Paper dollars? Worthless. You know, our inflation rate in the United States is already just astronomical, and it's not in the category of Venezuela, but it's going to move that way. Our digital coins and money, well, now that's all kind of, you know, what they call derivative. The digital coins have no physical backing. It's just a thing that people assign a value to, and by, you know, being hysterical about it or unhappy with, you know, the coin, they drive the price up or down. So that can be wiped out in just a matter of seconds as far as digital currencies, and your fortune is gone. So really what we're needing to do is focus on the things that money, silver, gold, diamonds, the things that these could buy. And you're going to find that everyone else is looking for things like food, medicine, water, you know, gasoline, petrol, at the same time. And so delivery of these things is going to be rather sporadic at best. So you better, if you're thinking about long term, that I'll save money or gold or whatever so I can buy, you know, bullets, guns, or whatever, you better do it now. The time is coming very soon when they make this UFO announcement officially that the people are going to react badly. They're going to be like a herd of lemmings running over the cliff. They're going to be wanting to sell things to convert to, you know, guns, ammunition, food, and that kind of stuff. So don't wait until the herd hits you. Also, get your EMP shield for the nuclear side of the attack that is coming on the United States eventually. The sun, the solar cycle, I talked about it, and so has Doug. The sun is rather unstable for a low sunspot number solar cycle, which number 25 is. But yet we're seeing flares appearing with rapidity, and out of these flares, like last week, there were 13 CMEs out of one flare area alone, one active region. So, folks, don't delay. But the reason I told you to make copies of this show and store it hard copy and share it with people all over the world is this. What I'm going to tell you now will not be allowed to be shown on YouTube or posted on the internet because it will be against the New World Order that is coming. And it will reveal, you know, the deception that is being finished, you know, come to fruition on the people of the world, not just the United States. Let's before we get too far afield here, let's talk about the alien conspiracy. Slide 47. Now, if you click on that, it'll take you over to Amazon Videos. You know, the YouTube and Roku, they play on Prime Video these particular series of videos, but it's from Amazon. And Amazon, you know, the leadership of that, the owners of it, I think that I would consider them to be part of the Illuminati, if you get my drift. They are in the know of controlling people and waiting for the New World Order. So what astounded me was this particular, video series that they did. There's four of them. In January they did this. And it's called Alien Conspiracy, They Are Here. And if you scroll down the page just a bit, Eric, you'll see that there's four episodes. And look at number two. Now, number two on my Roku for this one here is the one that I think is the most important for you to see about what they're conditioning you to accept. Now, number one is a bunch of talking heads about, oh, I saw a UFO, I was abducted, that kind of stuff, kind of blah, blah, blah. But the number two is about the light and the aliens coming as messengers of the light. And remember, in the Bible, it says Satan will come posing as an angel of light, a messenger of light. Now, in this series, number two here, the alien infiltration, it says a lot of things that are indicative of an Illuminist point of view. And it encourages people, get rid of the banks, get rid of the Illuminati, you know, all the things that we talk about in Cosmic Conspiracy. I wrote about in 78, the Illuminati and the secret societies, you know, bad, watch out for them. They come up and say, we need to get rid of these people, you know, these Illuminists. And you think, what? This is, you know, a head Illuminist himself that's controlling, Amazon. And here he is telling you, get rid of people like me, you know, himself. And I'm thinking, why are they doing this? Well, it's, as I've said on your show several times in the last 2 years, the alien deception is going to come in two forms. It's going to come as good aliens and bad aliens. Now, the bad aliens are the ones that have been abducting and, doing experiments, gene experiments and that kind of stuff. Those are the ones that cause us pain and people are afraid of them. The good aliens, when they come, this will be Satan. He controls both good and bad aliens, but he's going to come and say, look, you're being, bothered oppressed by these bad aliens, if you wish, that support the Illuminati. And they've done this for thousands of years. And so he's going to say, look, let me and my troops and the world leader, I will appoint for you. Let us get rid of all these bad dudes and give you an age of wonder, good medicine and, peace, love and harmony, all that stuff. So the alien deception comes in two forms. What's been occurring in recorded history from the time of the Caesar till now, getting more intense in the last 100 years. The aliens are bad. They harm us. But then we've heard things leaked about the tall Nordic ones, Nordic fair skin, red hair type things, that these are friendly. So you'll see this come. First of all, the aliens are present. The United States and other countries will announce it officially. And then the good guys will come and say, look, yeah, they're here. And so are we. And they've been afflicting you. So we're going to help you get rid of them and help you make peace, between yourselves, blah, blah, blah. And people will think, if they haven't listened to what I've been saying, that, okay, this is really great. This is a great time. We've been saved by, Messiah types in flying saucers. They've been here all along, and they claim to have actually been friends with Jesus when he was there, on the cross. And, maybe even showing, videos of the crucifixion itself, because they were around back then. So people that don't know better are going to be fooled into accepting the quote unquote good aliens and their new world order. This is the warning that I want you to put around the planet, because we won't always be able to talk about this. It's, my book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, talks about the Illuminati and all the secret societies and things like that. And also the bad guy, Satan and his minions and his Antichrist, about what they're doing, how they treat people as fodder. That's in the appendices I've added in 2010 edition of The Cosmic Conspiracy. But what I did not cover at that time was what we're talking about now, was the the double deception, if you wish, bad and good aliens. So read that, those appendices at the back, and see what kind of beings you're dealing with. Very sneaky, very clever. But we're at that point now. We're at the point where I've got to warn people, don't be fooled by good, bad, alien type things in the beginning. That first wave, you know, the two types, will be Satan, will be the deceivers. And there will be, you know, a second coming of the real Messiah and his army, which hopefully includes those of us that are caught up in a rapture as part of his bride. And that will come toward the end of the seven-year tribulation that has to begin, I'm reasonably certain, now. We must be very close to the start of that seven-year tribulation period this year. So watch this alien situation. Do not be deceived. Tell your friends, don't submit to this thing, this organization that will say, you know, our leader, you know, the Messiah, in quotes, of this planet, is in this secret place or in the desert there or whatever. Go visit him there. Don't believe all that stuff, because when the real Messiah comes, it'll be like flashing lightning from coast to coast, you know, east to west, all at once. People and animals, everything will know that the real Messiah has arrived. You won't have to go to some secret place or office and meet him. It will be where you are, all over the planet. I can't stress this enough. The great deception spoken of in the Bible is afoot now and is coming to a head as we enter the tribulation period. Did I make that clear enough, Doug?
Yes, you did. Yeah, sadly you did. I mean, you did, and it's sad. Because, you know, you wonder how many people, specifically Christians, would fall for this deception. And then you look at people who and maybe this is a bad comparison, but who are out there on a motorcycle wearing a mask, okay, thinking that, for whatever reason, thinking that that is protecting them from something. I only mention that not for an equivalence, but for an example of how easy it would be to really fool the masses.
Yes, and we're like a bunch of lemmings. If we haven't been taught to look out for these things, you know, taught the truth, we will follow the herd. Yep. Herd immunity. Along those lines about the Christians that are going to be blinded by this, look at slide 50. You know, on there, it says only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Now, this is research done by George Barna. And you can read the article, but basically it's saying that, you know, 6% of the entire country, not just of Christians, et cetera, don't have a biblical worldview, don't look at prophecy, and don't put current events into prophecy at all. And because of that, 94% of the population of this country are at risk of being deceived by this alien, you know, landing. And
You know, I read that article. I want to know why, Stan, why is it? What happened? What was the, or what were the either cumulative or specific factors that caused the 94% to say, you know what, or abandon their biblical worldview?
Well, first of all, 94%, you know, all Americans are not Christian. We've got a lot of other religions, right? Islam. All right. We've got Catholicism, which is really kind of an organization rather than the faith of Jesus, but they try to sell it that way. These things, these organizations only affect a percentage of the population, not all of them. A large percentage, granted. But the Bible is being taught in religious seminaries to people who will be priests, you know, and rabbis and things like that, to take the word of God to the people. The problem is, in these seminaries, since probably the early 50s, have been infiltrated by Russian fifth columnists who come in to teach the Bible to the unsuspecting, and they will teach it in a very secular way so that people are not given the meat they need of the Bible for daily life and for prophetic events that are upon us now. So because of that, our ministers, priests, whatever, they are misleading the flock because they were trained in a seminary that taught them to mislead the flock and to move the congregations into more social, you know, secular type activities. So we've been misled by spies, fifth columnists that have been sent into the country after World War II to start a slow process, a multi-generational process of, well, getting rid of the Bible, getting rid of God. And in that second episode I was telling you about there on, what's his name, on Amazon, in that second episode of Alien Conspiracy, toward the end of it, they say there is no God. I mean, you know, you kind of go, what? You know, how do you explain all this? But anyway, it is a way to prepare people for what I've been warning about for years, but in particular, the double landing. The good news is that these people that follow the, you know, the Antichrist and follow Satan's new world order that's, you know, allegedly, the one from the beginning of time. Well, the good news is that when the Antichrist and Satan hands take over the world, one of the first group of people that it will get rid of, terminate, kill, are the Illuminists, the Illuminati, because they have turned their backs on the people of the world. They have betrayed us. They are traitors. And it is a historical fact. When the communists take over a country, they kill the people that helped them take over, the traitors, because they can't be trusted. And so the good news is the Illuminati will get zapped and people will go, hey, yeah, you're right. And so will I. That's great. Got rid of them. But look out. It's a chess move. It's a gambit. It's to deflect from what is coming next. So anyway, just make copies of this video that we're doing today and hard copies.
Yes.
Because the internet is going to become kind of less and less available for things like this. The censorship is going to increase and the use of bandwidth. Oh, wow. The use of bandwidth is going to be clobbered because people that use something like Siri, you know, the thing you put in your house, a little box you talk to and gives you access to all kinds of stuff. Holly's got an article on that here. I'm just seeing here. Right. It's from Amazon. It says on our show, on our news page today, say, if you don't want Amazon devices to share your bandwidth with your neighbors, you need to opt out by June the 8th. We've got 7 days. And if you've got Siri or things like that, you need to get out of it because they're going to be using your computer system or your Siri as well for bandwidth. They're going to be stealing bandwidth all across the world. So that's very important. And thank you for putting that up there, Eric. I didn't have it on my show images page, but it's one of several articles on our normal news page that are quite timely today that you should have a look at.
You know, I read that article over the weekend. In articles like it, all I can say is really, you know, I mean, I don't quite understand the convenience for the intrusion. Okay, you're trading. I wouldn't even say convenience. Again, I don't get it. Maybe I'm a dinosaur. I don't get the allure of having something like Siri, Alexa, whatever, you know, you connect everything, your doorbells, your doors, your windows, your thermostat, your Lord knows what else. I don't get it. And then
yeah,
I'm
I mean, look,
your neighbor. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're giving them total access to what you're saying, doing, what you've stored, what you bought, what you sell, even mumbled conversations in the back. It's picking it up and storing it in your database. The computing power that the Illuminists have at their disposal now is absolutely mind-boggling. It is huge. And it can process details live for every person in the world simultaneously and go out and have a coffee break at the same time. You know, these computers are just super, super. They're quantum computers. And these are so fast, so intrusive. Anyway. I have like our security system, our ADT system, and we're very careful as to, you know, what we put onto that and, you know, passwords and things like that, very limited. We know we need to have protection in what's coming with the illegals and crime increase. And I find the ADT system quite efficient for that. But, yeah, that's chewing up bandwidth as well, sending it off to the local database that they keep on us. It's not intrusive per se, but it tells our habits when and where we are, when we go, when we come to the house and things like that. Okay, now, there's so many things to talk about here. One thing of interest in slide 51, in Israel, a very small party, almost one seat, is in Israel in the elections right now. There's a guy named Bennett, and he is the leader of the Yamina party there. And it's a tiny little party, and its vote can swing the government for Netanyahu's government or for the opposition government. And what they've done, if you read that there, this guy Bennett, which is, you know, a knothead anyway, but he's got this small party. He's got the power to give the government to the opposition to Prime Minister Netanyahu. For that, the coalition that he will be forming will allow this guy Bennett to be the prime minister for a period of time, and then he'll turn it over to the majority party there, the opposition, and they will have their guy be prime minister for a while. It's a sharing of the prime ministership. They gave that to him if he would just take his vote from Netanyahu and go over and support the opposition. Now, this is a very important development in that like him or not, that Netanyahu is the conservative voice in the Middle East that, you know, currently, until he's taken out of office, supports the United States. The United States supports him. They work together to defend not only Israel, but the United States from Iran. And, you know, even from the Arab consortium that's formed under Saudi Arabia, under MBS. I think they're up to 41 members now. But it's Israel is the burdensome stone the Bible talks about. It is the focal point of all of the world political systems at the moment. What happens in Israel and to Israel will affect the entire world, the economy, the political alliances, etc. So watch the elections. They're going to announce, I think, here in a few days that Netanyahu is taken out of office. And this will be a sad day, especially since we've got the left-wing intrusive invaders that have taken over the White House here who are supporting, Iran and Russia for that matter. So with the Biden, you know, government, I guess you could call it, I don't know whether they're not legal, but with them not backing Israel and putting money into the Palestinians, you know, to buy weapons, make weapons, to attack Israel, it now puts Israel in the spot that it has no dependable supporting nation. When the United States no longer will supply the missiles for Iron Dome and various other defense things they have, Israel will be without a champion. Now, that means that Israel will be put in a position of using the stored weapons that they have invented themselves and built themselves in hidden facilities, some in Israel, some not. But they will be forced to use these weapons against the Arab nations, particularly against Iran. But when you see Saudi Arabia cozying up to Iran and having talks of let's get along, you're looking at 41 Arab nations getting together with nuclear power, with Iran surrounding Israel. And they will attack. They won't succeed, but they'll make a dent in Israel, and Israel will make a huge hole in them and their armies with fiery weapons, as the Bible says, that will melt down these armies. We are at that point. You just have to be totally ignorant of the news to not see these things in front of us, moving so rapidly. Let's see what time we've got, 35. Okay. The sun, you can see the sun today in slide 43 and slide 44. Looking at, there are about four areas that are hot spots, hot regions, active regions on the sun. Just the normal, you can click on those to see the normal pictures I put in there every week. And you yourself can go to places like Sun Today and, you know, SDO.NASA there and look at these things yourself in between shows, you know, every week. Right. Now, another interesting thing is we know that China has put up its own little small space station up there and will be building it bigger. Now, slide 46 shows, if you click on it, you'll also see an article about it, which is good. If you click on the picture, it'll come up showing you a hole in a robotic arm on the space station. They just found it. And it's like a bullet hole in that arm. There are 23,000 or more objects the size of a softball or larger, and they are being tracked by Space Command and other, you know, space defense agencies. And they try to track these things, those that they can image, for potential collisions with not only the space station, but the international space, but also with satellites. Now, there are so many of these things whizzing around, some in opposite orbit to the established satellite pattern, but some going with it. The ones, you know, the debris going with the orbits of these, the majority of the satellites, will only hit them at about 17 or 18,000 miles an hour. A grain of sand at that speed will put a huge dent in a block of aluminum, a solid block, going several inches into it. So you can see what it would do to a space station, to shielding for air leakage and things like that. But those going in opposite direction to the normal satellites will be hitting them with a relative speed of 36 to 37,000 miles an hour. These are bullets. And there are tens of thousands of them that we cannot get rid of all at once. They're up there in clouds at various altitudes. And this is a really important thing. Now, with China, I don't know exactly how their orbit, you know, is in relationship to the International Space Station. But if China had a way to go out into the orbit of where the space station is, or where our communication satellites are out there at 12,000 miles or whatever, if they had a way to go out there and just blow up a sandbag, that would wipe out huge numbers of our satellites and the space station, all that kind of stuff, with these little grains of sand traveling at those speeds. So watch China's movements. Now, Russia, last week we talked about Russia taking their astronauts, you know, they're going to take them off the space station and have their own space station, just like the Chinese do. Very rapidly, we are being dealt out of the game, and we're being, you know, the military in China is surpassing what our military capability is, and their budgets are bigger than ours to buy and make these weapons. I don't know how people cannot see that war is upon us, a global war, a threat to the United States and wiping us out. We have been so weakened in this chess game, international politics, that they are going to take us from within as well as from without, whether it be EMP strikes or whether it be nuclear strikes or both, and armed troops coming into the country. People need to get prepared, get the book that Dare to Prepare that Holly wrote years ago, telling you how to deal with nuclear war and other shortages like food, medicine, that kind of stuff. It's 600 pages, 632 pages of instructions, you know, to help you endure what is coming. And it's not, you know, oh, those are prepper guys. This is essential reading and for you to prepare for your family to endure what is coming. And she was so far ahead of this. I think, as I recall, when she was like 13 or 14, she was looking at how to prepare things because her mother taught her, you know, because they were in the Kansas area there in Missouri, and they knew how to prepare for storms, you know, for food cellars and things like that. And that started her off, and she started collecting information at that age, at 14. And that's a lot of decades ago, but still, she's collected all along. Well, a few decades. Yeah, but that's been her life's calling, is to collect this stuff and share it with people. She's done it quite well. Okay, China, slide 45. Let's see, we've got our 20 minutes. Okay, China has 97 rivers that are exceeding the warning levels because of all the rain they've been getting. I wonder where my rain went, but that's where. There are people there in China and outside China reporting on the Three Gorges Dam. And they're saying, look, don't worry about it. It's not going to deform the dam. It's been because of satellite imagery and stuff, which may be true. But they are trying to quiet people down about this threat. And it reminds me of that prophecy given to me by that Hopi woman. Sorry, not Hopi, the Maori woman down in New Zealand. That they were going to see a great, you know, scandal over a dam breaking. Now, whether it's the main dam or a tributary dam in China, I don't know. But when that happens, and there's a great scandal about using substandard, you know, wooden things in the construction, very shortly thereafter, you know, the great volcano, Lake Taupo in New Zealand, is going to erupt, and it will be as big as Yellowstone ever was. And it will cause several days of darkness from the ash floating around from the explosion of that and wipe out half the North Island. So that's why I keep watching and reporting on the Three Gorges Dam, is in relation to what she wrote to me. All right. Earthquakes, slide 40. They've been finding a correlation, you know, surprise, surprise, that electric events lightning, like glows, like ball lightning floating around over fault lines, are a precursor for earthquakes, and they're caused by earth stresses causing cracks in the subsurface there in fault line areas, releasing gas that then becomes ionized as it travels up to the surface, and it glows or forms short circuits in the atmosphere, and you see these arcs. I started working on this electric theory, you know, what, back in 2000, maybe 1998 even. But since 2005, I haven't been able to report the charge status on the planet because they no longer make that data available to civilians out of USGS or anywhere else. Okay. Now, here's something that it's a topic that goes in several directions at once. Slides 38 and 39. Now, it has been, oh gosh, what, 71, it's been about 48 years since I was kind of inducted into the clandestine operations of a research group in Australia, but it also has branches in Russia and Canada and Norway and, you know, New Zealand. They're a multinational group that works not at a political government level, but at an industrial level, a banking level behind the scenes. Now, in my book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, I have letters and a discussion about Dr. James R. Maxfield, which is his picture's there on the left in slide 38. In fact, I think if you click on the picture, yeah, it brings up a big picture of not only Dr. Maxfield, but his friend, Dr. Wernher von Braun. Now, their friendship started, and Dr. Edward Teller's friendship with Maxfield and von Braun also started, when von Braun had to be treated for cancer. Maxfield had told him that, look, you've had trouble with your kidney. You had a growth on it that was removed, but now then you need to, you know, look at, I think it was his pancreas, but, you know, you're going to get in trouble if you don't get this taken out now. And that was in 73, and von Braun never made the time for it, and he died in 76 from it. But anyway, Maxfield, my first contact, he's the one who recruited me into the Teller project down in Australia for anti-gravity research and the alien situation. Dr. Maxfield was an interesting fellow. When I first met him, I realized, you know, he was tall. He was like 6 foot some odd, and he wore cowboy boots, and over the top of that was his surgical, you know, whites and greens that he used in the lab for the radiation research he did. But he was not always a medical doctor. During the Depression, while he was at Baylor University, he had to leave after a couple of years because of the Depression. He ran out of money to pay his tuitions. So in that couple of years that he was not in school, he was employed as a Texas Ranger. Now this, you know, that's the boots and you know, the cigar and Big Jim. I mean, he's even remembered in the Texas Ranger almanacs. You know, he's like a memorial to him because he's an honorary Texas Ranger until he died. Anyway, that's the guy that recruited me into this project. As I say, he was friends with not only Wernher von Braun, but Teller, Edward Teller, and also with an industrialist over in the west side of Australia, Lang Hancock. They were all thick as thieves. And of course, because of the operation down there in Australia, people like Lang Hancock and Sir John Williams and a few others were very important to the organization down there. A bit on von Braun. Interesting fellow. I've got a link over there on slide 39. You can go read about him on Wikipedia. But I only met him once, and I do recall his his hair was thick, you know, not fine hair, but thick. And his hands, his fingers were thick, but and he was big. He was tall like JR was. But his history is incredible. Let me just see if I've got that. Yeah, that was paperclip. Okay. Von Braun was a genius, in my opinion. He, at the age of 12 or so like that, was playing the piano, composing, and he could play by memory pieces, you know, from Bach, Beethoven, really heavy stuff, but he was a brilliant mind. He eventually, you know, started playing with missiles, homemade missiles and things, and I've been accused of that, too. I blew up a few of them and exploded my workshop over the garage at Dad's house with an accident I had with the fuel. But, you know, he was doing the same kind of thing at his teenage years like I was doing. And in fact, even once he got arrested, you'll see it in the article there, for blowing up a toy with firecrackers at an event. And the police arrested him and released him later because, you know, he was a baron, young Baron von Braun. You know, he was just being mischievous. Fortunately, I didn't ever get arrested for mine, but it was fun. I think my dad would have preferred that to quiet me down a bit, because I was having to sneak around and get out to the launch fields without anybody knowing it there in those days. Now, von Braun, as I say, interesting fellow, because he wanted to go to Mars. That was his objective. He read, you know, the current lights in rocketry, you know, in the United States and in Europe. And he wanted to build them to go all the way to Mars and have a colony on Mars of humans. And to that end, that's what his life was about. Now, to get there, he had to have funding. And when the Third, Fourth Reich, whenever, Third Reich, when they started taking over Germany, he was looking for support, and he was in the army at that time, and his boss there said, look, you know, let's take this to the Fuhrer, and let's see if we can get you into a funding program to make rockets for the government, and that way you can get your rockets to Mars eventually. And so that was why von Braun then joined the Nazi Party. He was eventually a major in there, who they call a Sturmbannführer. And he didn't like the Nazis that much. They were a funding opportunity for him. And he turned his head the other way when he was at Peenemünde and other places doing research and development on B-2 missiles. He turned his head away when he passed, you know, the slaves that were dying, you know, building these facilities for them, and just kind of blocked it out of his mind. He was very focused on making a trip to Mars, you know, the technology to do that. And so this weighed on him. And when the war ended, he gathered his team from all over Germany. He said, look, guys, we don't want to go to the Russians. We want to go to the Americans because they have better morals and they're Bible-based. And you say, well, what does that matter to a Nazi? Well, he was a Lutheran. He's kind of, you know, a go-to-church-on-holidays type Christian. But it weighed on him heavily that he had helped these people be killed and persecuted there, you know, the Jews and other prisoners of the Reich. Now, when he came to the United States under oversight, I think there was a program like that. Anyway, it became Paperclip, but eventually it was originally it was another name. Let me just see if I can find it here. Anyway, yeah. It was called Operation Overcast. I don't know why they called it that, but then they said, let's call it Operation Paperclip, and they were all taken, he and his mates, to the United States. So not long after he got here, I think it was in 52, he went to a evangelical church there, and just a little country-type church there near Houston, and he became a believer there. And to his dying day, he remained that. I must say that even though he was an evangelical Christian, he never left behind his flair for four-letter words when he got angry. He was well known around the NASA facility there for expressing his views in that manner. Anyway, these are the people that I worked with, either in person or in the organization, from 1971 to 1973. And they have they have laid the groundwork for, you know, what is going to be announced this month by our government as far as the UFOs and technology to combat these things. As far as the Teller group, you know, the Maxfield Teller and Von Braun, they treated the aliens with caution and made deals that they knew were probably broken, trying to figure out ways that we could control our destiny with technology, you know, anti-gravity and advanced rocketry and things like that. So they were against the aliens, and in so doing, they became the pawns of the Illuminists, you know, the rich guys that run this planet. And I, inadvertently, in that two-year period, was doing work that that helped that plan. Now, as I've said earlier in the program, we need to look at two invasions by evil, you know, quote-unquote aliens, the fallen ones is who they are, and then a good one at the end of the tribulation period by our Messiah, Jesus. All these things, you know, have been building up. You know, I've been carrying them for 45, 48 years, I guess, now, to share with people when the time is right, and this is the time.
Did you ever think you would see, you know, look, I understand you believed it, but do you ever think you'd see this day? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, someone is sick and they're going to die, and you know, for example, they might be in hospice, and they might have been there for longer than expected. And then when they die, there's always that, huh, you know, is that the way you feel in a sense, or?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I've been expecting it for nearly half a century, and we're there now, and I'm kind of going, ah, yes. Well, I guess that's what it was all about. You know, you think it's kind of, I don't know what the word is. It's kind of like, you know, you expected it, and it's kind of anticlimactic. That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all right.
It is. And when I left Australia with Holly to come back to the States in 2001, I was not sure whether that plane would arrive safely or whether once we got here, we would stay alive very long, because to get into the country, I had to get the permission of the State Department, which had blocked all my stuff, entry and passports and citizenship. But I got cleared of all that by the former Secretary of Defense. And, you know, he sponsored me. And I thought, how can Schlesinger, Jim Schlesinger, how can he support me? And he's an Illuminist and things like that. Why are they letting me live? So anticlimactic, yes. I've been expecting to not be here in the beginning, probably from about 2001 to 2010. I worried about whether they were going to take me out, but they didn't. And to this day, I still wonder why. Was it because I wrote a book that supported the aliens are bad theory and, look out for them? Cosmic Conspiracy says all that, but it doesn't talk about the deception of the second lot, you know, the second evil alien landing. Mm-hmm. Well, not much. Toward the end it does. So I don't know. It's anticlimactic, but it's also kind of, wow, I made it this far. That's cool, I guess.
Gives you something to ponder in a sense. Wow. I'm just thinking about the gravity, pardon the pun on that, but the gravity of the situation. And I think, are we not dealing with hyperdimensional as opposed to interplanetary beings?
Are we not the only planet like that having that situation or what?
No. Are we not dealing with, when we talk about the alien deception, is this not more interdimensional as opposed to interplanetary? Or it doesn't really matter.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because in the Bible, we're told about, the world beneath us, you know, we're to home where the dead people are and things. And, I think it's, the inside of our planet is going to be where Satan and his minions are eventually cast into a lake of fire in the interior of this planet. It's a lower level, you know, where ghosts and spirits and stuff live. And then the upper level is where Jesus, you know, where God, where they dwell. And that's why Jesus said, I have to ascend, you know, to Mary, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. To get up a parallel dimension, you know, I guess you could say they open up a portal and the higher dimensions where Jesus and where God and the angels live, the energy density on every molecule there is much greater than it is here, and much, much greater than it is in the lower level where the ghosts and demons and spirits are encapsulated at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. And I look at the timing of this too. And I always ask why now? You know, why now as opposed to, you know, 20 years from now? And I look at the events and I'm thinking, well, things, you know, the wheels are coming off this bus, basically. The lies about different things, but a lot of things are being exposed. And, seems to me that the bad guys are almost out of cards to play. So they've got to play their trump card, which is the alien deception card. That's the way I look at it. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. I think there are probably a lot of portions or parts of that trump card.
Yeah.
Or that 7-year period, particularly the first 3.5 years of it. I look forward to them. I don't want to be here and have them knocking on my back door. But that's why I'm hoping for the rapture and being able to be qualified for that.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, whenever the timing of that is, take me, Lord, I'm ready.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you're talking about parallel dimension and stuff. In slide 37, there's an article there which says maybe Einstein was wrong. Dark matter map hints at broken physics in a major shakeup. Einstein's monumental general theory of relativity may have been wrong after all, which I, of course, said in the Cosmic Conspiracy in 1978, and proved the error in the experiment that he used to build his relativity postulations on. Dark matter, you can see there an artist's rendering of what it would look like if we could image it, spreads between all the galaxies. It's concentrated thick in some places where you see the bright spots, and in others it's just kind of light purple. But it's like a multi-density fluid of space, which is, you know, how I built my model, which was not my discovery. I just understood it, and then it followed along what the Teller's group were talking about, is that space, the distance between objects in space that we can see, is filled with a very fine fluid. And the experiment that they did, the Michelson-Morley experiment, years ago, which was the basis for what Einstein developed, they assumed that if there were a fluid of space, we'd be moving through it. And that's how they based their experiment, and they proved that we aren't moving through it. Therefore there is no space, and it didn't cause the speed of light to speed up or slow down. And that was what Einstein based his theory on. Well, it turns out they didn't look at the other side of the coin. Was if there's a fluid in between us and space, is it the fluid moving the planets and stars? And that's why next to us, just right next to the planet, we don't detect passing through the fluid because it's moving us. It's like a tea leaf on a stirred cup of tea. You know, if you were on that tea leaf, you stuck your hand down the side of the tea leaf, you wouldn't feel anything because no relative motion because the tea is moving you. But if you stuck your hand out toward the center of the teacup, then you would feel relative motion. Anyway, it's...
That's a good picture, a good word picture. Yeah, I get that. We've got about, just a heads up, we got about a minute and a half left.
All right, I wasn't sure what the time was. Yeah. There's another thing that, I guess several years ago, I think I put on the show. In slide 41, it's a video. Well, not a video. It's a video. It's a video. It's a walkthrough of what Solomon's Temple, the original one, would have looked like. And they used archaeological evidence and spiritual or scriptural evidence. And they take you on a walk through Solomon's temple. Now I noticed, and you'll notice it too, when you go to the video, you'll see that there are Egyptian symbols used, and Babylonian symbols used in their recreation. You know, there you are. That's showing the outside of it there where they sacrifice the animals before you go into the temple. So I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with all the Egyptian symbolism, but maybe it was like that because Moses did bring that information with him in the Exodus, but that was several hundred years before Solomon.
Interesting. Wow. Folks, definitely do what Stan said. Make sure, download and make a copy of this, put it on a hard drive or a thumb drive or whatever. Just keep this. Keep this segment for later use. You'll understand why. Stan, thank you so much. Appreciate all you do.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate what you guys do, too. Thank you.
All right. God bless. God bless you and Holly, and talk to you soon. All right, folks, that'll do it for me. Until tomorrow, may God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Stay safe. Until tomorrow, good night.